This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine, where, as you can probably tell, we have a lot of people out here today. I have been very pleasantly surprised by that. Right now, it's time for some Cowboys win because Cowboys lose because 877-881-1053. You want to get involved in the conversation. Mike, you made a noise. I get the sense that you kind of want to change your pick.
I kind of do. I had just this feeling after Sunday's loss where with 3 minutes to go, I thought, I can't believe these guys are going to do it. They're going to figure out how to win this game. They got the ball back with 3 minutes to go against San Francisco with a chance to win. And then I hate saying this, and this is too harsh. Dak Prescott turned back into the Dak Prescott we all worry about. And that
playoff
is with the
Dak
game on the line, he is going to play his worst football, and it wasn't all his fault. He threw a interception to three people, but Fred Warner made sure to knock it down so nobody intercepted it. But I just am to the point now where talking to Mickey, talking to Jerry, as this week has gone by, no chance of Micah Parsons, very little chance of Bland, probably a 30% chance it's starting
Diggs
to sound like that Diggs is going to play. At this point, it's starting to be overwhelming that you're going to once again put out a minor league defense, and then certain Cowboy fans are going to get mad at Mike Zimmer for not taking guys that shouldn't be playing in the NFL and not putting together a good defensive plan. So Cowboys lose because, and this is where I'm now leaning, I'm sorry, I was trying to be optimistic, they don't have the talent to win. At this point, I'm trying to think of, in a way, you better be happy, Cowboy fans, if you have hope of making the playoffs, that they're not playing the Giants this week. Because you might lose to the Giants this week.
The
Carolina Panthers might be iffy with what you're putting out on the field as your product. And I'm not blaming Jerry for this one. I'm not blaming Mike McCarthy or Mike Zimmer for this one. They do not have enough NFL players on their active roster to win this game. That's why Cowboys lose. I will now become optimistic Mike again, even though I'm leaning towards Cowboys are going to lose because of what I just said. Is somehow the Falcons always waste opportunities like this in their franchise history.
That is fair.
And the Cowboys always do enough. For all the Cowboy fans listening, they always win this random game that when you know the season is over, you know the season isn't going to be your year, they win a game like this to keep your hopes alive. And that's why the Cowboys win.
Now, I want to read this one text from the 214. This segment should be called Cowboys Lose Because Cowboys Lose Because. I'm a diehard Cowboys fan, but come on, man. Okay, because of that, I put together what I think legitimately could propel them over the top this weekend. Now, I will also give the opposite of that, but this is the stretch where CeeDee Lamb turns it on. All right, look at last year. He dominated in weeks 7, 8, and 9. Last week was week 7. For the Cowboys. And I realize, or game 7, I guess I should
say.
He was
good.
Not week 7. He was very good. Now, is some of that a byproduct of what was happening in the game? I get that. But CeeDee Lamb is one of two receivers, along with Justin Jefferson, who has at least one catch of 25 yards or more every game this season. In the last 30 years, the longest streak ever has been 9. And then last week, he caught 13 balls for 146 yards and 2 touchdowns. I think this is going to be the stretch, and you desperately need it, where CeeDee Lamb really turns it on. And I think he puts together another similar game like that, and that is why the Cowboys win this one.
All right. I like that. I'm going to go with Cowboys win because field position and ball control. Now, this isn't the Cowboys' MO, and ball control definitely relies a lot on being able to run the football, and the Cowboys aren't fantastic at that. But
That is a nice way to put that.
The field position part is controlled. It can be controlled by the special teams. And so I'm thinking that this is what they do. They utilize special teams to keep Atlanta in long drives and long drive situations. So I don't think you're going for it on fourth down at the 50-yard line. You're going to try and do everything you can to pin people back. And then they're going to do – I think they run one back, maybe even two this weekend. And that's not Brandon Aubrey being the only special teams part, but I think that Turpin has one in him this weekend, and that's going to be the reason the Cowboys win.
Because
they're going to need – they're going to need 30 points almost, I think.
With what we're looking at on defense, I could potentially see that. From the 817, Cowboys win because Atlanta's pass rush will give Dak time to throw, and they could establish a run game. Now, that, I think, is the most logical positive that you can look at this.
Throw to set up the run.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I like it.
But also, Atlanta's defensive line is not good at all. Like, I told you, there's 8 players in the NFL who have more sacks than all of the Falcons combined.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether that translates exactly to the running game, I'm not as sure about that. But I think Dak should have plenty of time to throw. And if he doesn't, that's just another further indictment of the offensive line that, you know, you heard Jerry from earlier. He was like, I don't want to single out Martin. I don't want to single out Steele. A whole lot this season has not gone the way I hoped or the way that I thought it would. Now, Cowboys lose because turnovers are an issue for Dak again. We've discussed this throughout the week. Dak had multiple interceptions in 3 straight games. That's the longest run of his career. And then when you have A.J. Terrell back there, he's got a couple of interceptions this season. Jesse Bates, he forced 2 turnovers in the last game alone. This is a Cowboys team, and Mike was talking about how you don't really match up personnel for personnel. If you run into any extra sort of adversity, like turning the ball over, I think you're going to be screwed against most teams in the NFL right now. Now, might you feel different in a week when it was like, oh, Mike is back, Bland is back, Diggs is back?
Yeah.
Like, then sure, but right now, if you have any sort of turnover negative differential, which they've had all season, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and I mean that kind of lines up exactly with mine, is they don't have enough teeth to be able to do that thing. The injuries are just too much. The lack of, I mean, I know that Jerry didn't go into detail with it, Kevin, when you asked that question. You kind of knew. He tried to answer it, but also be diplomatic at the same time.
Yeah.
Zach Martin's slide backwards has really hindered a lot of
things.
That's
a thing that's happening.
It's a reality to watch that. And I think whenever he said that before you asked the question, he was insinuating that. He was talking about him, Zeke, maybe some other people that are a little older on this team that have slid back a little bit. I definitely think he was saying it without saying it. But yeah, man, that's the real thing, is they just don't have the talent that they need to win in this game.
Zach Martin, greatest guard you've ever seen. That could have been a category you put him in at one point. I know,
yes.
I know Larry Allen and stuff, but like, I'm just giving you the highest point of his career. Larry Allen, one of the best in the game. He stayed there for a long time. Zach Martin, average guard in the NFL. Is that too extreme? Is that not extreme enough where he's at today?
I think that's about right.
Because I'm sure all other teams would take him and be like, we're still starting him. Like, he's still better than one of our two.
And you know what? I bet on a complete offensive line, he's probably not just as good, but in between
average
and really good. Right now, though, he's not enough to compensate for all the other parts on the offensive line.
So he's gone from one of the best at his position in the NFL, if not the best, to average?
Yeah. Or maybe a little bit above average thus far.
A little bit above average
but not
starter.
Yeah. That's big fair. Drop.
But you're dealing with a below average.
Especially when you signed him to that contract last year.
Yeah,
and
maybe being
now
nice.
You're like, you're expecting this type of productivity from him, and you're like, I'm not getting that now.
And this is not fair. And if this is the way it played out, which I don't know at all, I worried about this with Zach Martin, the same thing I worried about with Zeke and with Dez. I'm sure Zach Martin was like, I would just like more money because I'm awesome. But in the back of my mind, when the dip happens pretty soon after you get paid, I always wonder, like, did that player take the stand because they're like,
heck yeah,
hey, I know it's about to be visible that I don't have it at the same level. I need to cash in.
You're not
right
being
now.
Unfair at all. That's what you're supposed to do as an agent.
Yeah.
And that's – you see it. Agents have to be not honest with their client at times. They have to be honest with, if I'm going to get this guy any more money, which means me getting more money, I need to jump now because most likely a dip is about to come. That happens all of the time in sports.
Opportunistic is what the agents
in
have
a way
to do.
Like. Yeah. Do you think timely. Nathan Eovaldi's agent's like, you know what we should do? We should take a 1-year deal. No, not at all. He knows that there's a good possibility Eovaldi's ready to drop down a little bit in where he's been. Now that's the tough thing about being the general manager. And let's be honest with ourselves. Do we think, like, I'm using an example of coming up here tomorrow? Do you think Eovaldi can be the same pitcher he was this last year or better is the question the Rangers have to ask. We're going to be upset if he goes somewhere else because we want him back. I want him back. But it's a realistic question to ask when guys get to a certain age, Zach Martin, Nathan Eovaldi, whoever it is. Are they wanting a 3-year deal because they know in year 3 they probably can't do it anymore?
It's a good question from the 469. Cowboys win because... Man, this might be the realest one we've gotten so far. Brandon Aubrey kicks 4 field goals of 60 yards plus. I mean, look.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
That could happen. From the 817.
240 yards of field goals.
That surely... I guess that's probably not a record. We've had field goal kickers kick 7 field goals, so probably not. From the 817, Cowboys win 40-17 because CeeDee Lamb scores 2. We own, Kirk Cousins, and Michael Penix comes in. That would be fascinating.
I think we own Kirk Cousins is what they were saying.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Okay.
But we can earn him.
Own him.
I do think there's a possibility Michael Penix plays in this game, and that's a bad sign.
Because you think it's going to be a freaking blowout
if he gets in the game, it's because it's something like 35-10 midway through the fourth quarter. And I do think – I'm not putting that at a high percentage. I do think, as people thought this was 100% when I said it 4 years ago, there's a 10 to, let's say, up to 20% chance this is a blowout with 10 minutes to go. And Michael Penix does get some snaps. A small percentage, but people have taken that percentage from me 4 years ago and said that means 100%.
From the 214, Cowboys win because Dalvin Cook's going to provide more hope. From the 469, Cowboys lose because Mozzie is ranked 119 out of 119 for defensive linemen on Pro Football Focus. That is always pretty jarring. Now, sometimes I see those rankings and I'm like, come on, he's better than that or whatever. But when you saw the Mozzie one, you're like, that's tough. When you're straight up dead last.
Yeah. You're like Brock Purdy, right? You still have a chance to go up. That's what I say. That's the way I look at it. You still have a chance to turn things around.
Mini NFL overreaction or reality. By the end of the season, Mozzie Smith will not be the last defensive starter on the defensive line in the NFL.
Definitely overreaction.
I think he will be. I think in Oxnard next year, there's a 50-50 chance he gets cut.
Man, and that would, you know what? And if he does, I'm going to ask Jerry straight away. Tom Landry says you got to wait 3 years. This is his third year. Why would you cut him?
What do we do?
Is that on defensive linemen, too?
Yes, on defensive linemen. He says that.
I thought it was offensive.
No, it's defensive linemen. He says that all the time.
Specifically, like defensive tackles,
exactly.
Too, yeah.
But remember Neville Gallimore? Mm-hmm. Was it him that they were like 50-50 on cutting him his third year in the NFL? And I think eventually they might have released him in the
season. I just want to do it because I want to expose that answer as a generic fallback to get around some of the poor decisions that have been made. We're the KNC Masterpiece live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine.
Oh, yeah. You know what they're getting revved up for.
Coming up next.
Dom Toretto.
Two-time national champion, Heisman Trophy winner, and college football broadcaster Gino Toretta. Plus, Lord help us all.
Take a load off, Fanny.
Mike likes it. Oh,
jeez.
Why? All of it coming at you next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, hoping to get the opportunity to talk with Gino Toretta in just a few minutes. He will be on the call for Ohio State and Penn State, which you can catch tomorrow, 11 a.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan. Plus, remember, on Sunday, the official pregame for Cowboys Falcons starts at 9 a.m. with kickoff just after noon. I know you have potentially Mike likes it.
Oh, yes, I do.
As well. Not yet.
You're teasing the people. They want it.
But I wanted to throw fair. I wanted to throw out a couple more things real quick. Two more leftover things I had from Gridiron. Seven consecutive seasons, Lamar Jackson has rushed for at least 500 yards. Cam Newton is the only other person to reach that platform. How many more years do you think Lamar can do that? Like, do you think we're to, like, two or three?
What did you say his age was?
Lamar Jackson's 27.
Five more years.
Okay. All right. So we've still got a good amount of time.
I think at 32-ish, as long as there's no major injury to his lower half, hip, knee, ankle or something, I think that he can do this till about 32, and then there's going to have to be a transition where can I – play the game in a different way.
Okay, let me, before we
or
get,
maybe a more conventional way.
Before you get to that potential need for a change, do you think his legs will still be lethal weapons in the next 5 years?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then also,
but like, that's what I'm saying. Like, around 32 years old is when his legs will be a very different weapon, which, not negative weapon, but it won't be as concerning.
And then through 67 games, we've talked about this a couple times this year, but now you're to the point, 67 games have been decided by seven or fewer points. 57 have been decided by six or fewer points, both records in the NFL. Now we bring to you on our D&M leasing hotline, two-time national champion, Heisman Trophy winner, college football broadcaster Gino Toretta. Good afternoon, sir.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing very, very well, thank you. Although, I guess I should say, how I'm doing will depend at least a little bit on how you answer this very first question.
A lot of pressure, Gino.
I went to Texas A&M. I have seen all of the fraudulent Texas A&M teams that have let me down along the way. Selfish first question, how much do you believe in these Aggies and now Marcell Reed?
I'm going to say this. Who do they play this week? I can't remember.
South Carolina.
Well, unfortunately, I picked South Carolina to win the game.
What the hell?
I don't know if that disappoints you, but South Carolina is one of the loudest places in the SEC. They've been on the cusp of beating far better teams than, I would say, Texas A&M. So I don't mean to dash your hopes. But the good thing is I'm usually dead wrong.
I think what hurt was that you said beating far better teams, not just better, but far better than Texas A&M. But I appreciate the honesty. So to answer your question again, not doing so great, Gino. Yeah,
it was a great talk. We'll get back with you next time, Gino.
I'm just kidding. Now, You're on the call tomorrow for Penn State and Ohio State, and obviously both teams are very, very good. It does look like maybe Ohio State has kind of gotten close to a couple of stumbles as of late. Should they be concerned going into this game?
Well, I think they most definitely should be concerned. I mean, they've already lost one on the road to Oregon. You know, this is the first year of the 12-team playoff. They want to make sure they're still in the mix for, you know, winning the not only the conference, but getting into the playoff. Their left tackle was injured, I think, 2-3 weeks ago. Last week's left tackle was kind of one of those turnstiles at the airport. And now he's injured as well, so they don't know who's going to play left tackle and block for Will Howard. I think there's definite cause for concern if you're the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Man, I am always shocked at, like, my kid's middle school. I go to his football game, and there's, like, 10 Ohio State fans. Do Ohio State fans, are they more across the country than anybody else, or is there one that you're like, no, there's a different school that just takes over the U.S.?
Isn't it annoying? I mean, like, you know, Miami and Ohio State and the Rose Bowl and the fraudulent call at the end, and it took another title away from Ken Dorsey and his teammates. But the school's got, I mean, 65,000 in their enrollment. So yes, it seems like They're all over the place, and it seems like they multiply when their team's better, which is always not good.
You know what I like is that you're clearly still bitter about past sports calls, just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
That is a very relatable trait, because I guarantee you everybody listening right now has something they're still bitter about, whether it's Dez caught it or whatever.
Yep.
Well, you know what the best part is? If I said that to an Ohio State fan, and I guarantee you they would say, well, what about the pass interference against I can't even remember their receiver on the sideline. They didn't call that. You know, they would come back with all of their grievances, and they won the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the crazy thing. I'm like, you guys won the game. How do you, like, factor in these calls? But, I mean, all I know is pretty much the announcers were saying Miami won the game, and then all of a sudden they didn't win the game. Which is very, very interesting.
Yeah, that is what makes college football so fun, too.
It is.
Those types of things. I am looking at, locally here, looking at SMU, looking at Indiana, looking at some of these schools that you're like, hold on, where did these programs pop up out of? I mean, I know you can Google some coaches, you know, and find out, but this turnaround that's happening more frequently in college football, do you like seeing what's happening there with some of these other smaller programs or big programs that are finally opening up some wallets?
Well, I think what's happening is we're going to get the microwave team effect with the transfer portal and NIL and all that. So you're going to go from the, you know, from the doghouse or the outhouse to the penthouse. Or in Florida State's case, the penthouse to the outhouse.
Yep.
And
thanks for
and
not saying S house. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
But the other is, you know, you look at these kids today, and you know, and I've talked to, like, Warren Sapp's a good friend of mine. He's coaching out in Colorado now, and I asked him. I'm like, what do you kind of think of this current situation? He goes, it's killing the depth of teams, because players don't want to go, hey, learn on the scout team, dominate the starters, then you become a starter. That's the progression to get on the field. If they don't want to play special teams, if they're not going to start, they're going somewhere else. And the depth of college football is not good. I mean, you look at teams like Alabama and get beat by Vanderbilt, for example. I mean, it would have been 60 years since that's happened. I mean, those are the kinds of things. But I think that is what makes, I would say, this season has been phenomenal because of that. And I also think of the teams in the top 25, I think they all have a chance of getting in the top 12 at the end of the year, because we really don't know what's going to happen the rest of the season. I mean, take Miami, for example. Miami hasn't played a ranked opponent yet, won't face a ranked opponent until, if they go through undefeated, until they play in the conference championship game. That will be their one game against a ranked team. If they lost, you guys know as well as I know, they got a good chance to get knocked from, you know, high to out of the top 12 because the strength of schedule is going to screw them.
Man, it's weird, too, that we'd be talking about, like when you mentioned Miami, that we would be talking about a game this weekend like SMU and Pittsburgh and how that has turned into a massive game this week.
Yeah, I mean, look, Pitt's undefeated, and yet they're ranked in the bottom of the top 25, and their strength of schedule, you'd argue, is probably better than Miami's. You know, and SMU, and Lashley, listen, he was our offensive coordinator at Miami. He did great things when he was here with Van Dyke, and he's done the same things there. He's putting points up on the board. I don't know how that they won a game. They turned the ball over six times last week against Duke. But they did it, and sometimes you need those kind of games. You need to, you know, come out on the right end for at the end of the year. You have a shot at the playoff and a national championship. But I think it's just I think personally I think it's great because a lot of teams have – there's more teams that have a shot to get in the playoffs. But it has the transfer portal has just killed the depth across the board in college football.
We're talking with Gino Toretta right here on 105 Through the Fan. Now, you will have the Ohio State and Penn State call. Obviously, both teams, the goal is to get in the playoffs. I get that. But this game seems like it has an extra level of importance with the byes in place as well. I'm not saying whoever wins is guaranteed a bye, but, man, that sure does feel like it gives you an inside track to one of those four byes, does it not?
Well, I don't know about that because they still have, you know, in my opinion, they should have got rid of the conference championship games, so they still have a conference championship game. If I'm in the Southeastern Conference, I want to be the third-ranked team in the conference.
So you don't have to play it, yeah.
Because I know I'm getting in the top 12, and I don't have to play the extra game. And you know what? I'll just go into the playoffs. I'll play that extra game, not the championship game. But the Penn State game is – Penn State-Ohio State's huge. It's Ryan Day's 2-7 against top five teams. I mean, here's a guy, he's got one foot on a banana peel, and the Ohio State fans are pushing him out the door if he loses this one. I mean, it's crazy. And James Franklin, on the other hand, he hasn't been able to beat the Penn States, the Ohio States and Michigans of the world. Even when he had Saquon Barkley, God, I was broadcasting that game, I think it was 16. Barkley takes a kick back 100 yards at about a 150 rushing. I mean, he single-handedly almost won the game for Penn State, but James Franklin couldn't get him over the top. So I think there's tremendous pressure on both coaches to go out there and win this game. And I think it's, you know, we'll see, because Ohio State was kind of exposed against Oregon, and Penn State, you know, came back from a huge deficit against Southern Cal, who's really not very good. So we'll kind of see where this one lands.
Gino, this is more of kind of an NFL question based off of a college player. The Cowboys stink at running the ball this year for multiple reasons. When you watch Ginty, the running back at Boise State, your projection on what he could be at the NFL level?
I know this. He reminds me his size, his low center of gravity. To me, he reminds me of Barry.
Oh,
and I'm not saying he's that good, but he reminds me like how he's low to the ground, how he's cut, his size, kind of his strength. The concern is, okay, he's playing. He's not in a top five or power five conference. So he's not playing against an SEC defense week in and week out. He's not dealing with bumps and bruises, you know. But, you know, look at Marshall Faulk, who, you know, was runner-up the Heisman for me. He was pretty good, and he was, you know, from San Diego State. They didn't play a Power 5 schedule. So I think he's very talented. I wish I see him more, but, you know, obviously, you know, we don't get their games as you got to look around a little bit harder for the Boise State matchups. You know, they change days on me. They're not always on Saturday.
Hey, Gino, you brought up a few minutes ago that you're tight with Warren Sapp, and we got to interview him. Was it this year?
Past year? He's got a lot of energy.
It was the only interview that I've ever had that I was like, I have no clue what's going to happen next. Was that always him? Is that always how it's been?
Warren Sapp was the only player that I played with at Miami that could have started both ways.
Oh, wow.
He came in as about a 265-pound tight end. They gave him number 84, and I was begging Coach Erickson. I'm like, pull his red shirt. He's not staying here 5 years. This kid's too good of an athlete. Let me have him at tight end for my 91 when he came in. I think it took all of about 4 weeks for Coach Carmelowitz, our head D-line coach, has passed away, and Ed Ogeron, who's our GA assistant D-line coach. They convinced Warren to move to defensive line. And he tells a great story. He says, they're like, Coach, they told him he could be just like Russell Maryland, Cortez Kennedy, Jerome Brown. And Sapp is very smart. He just goes, come on, Coach, you don't need to blow smoke. You know what I mean? And he goes, those guys are, Hall of Famers. And they're like, no. And he goes, no, I'm good at tight end. And Carmelis goes, name another 300-pound tight end in the league. and he said, Mitchell, the tight end for Nebraska. And he goes, he was like 280 at the time. He goes, yeah, he's got one fork in the grave, and he's eating his way to it. they convinced Warren to D-line, but he's got tremendous energy. He had the best hands on the team. Just a phenomenal athlete. I mean, he ran 4.6, I think, when he got there. He probably ran 4.8 by the time at 300 when he was playing D tackle. But yeah, the energy, enthusiasm, he loves. There ain't nothing that he loves more than ball, and he loves his quarterbacks that give him national championship or Super Bowl rings too. So I'm good with him.
Now, yeah. Speaking of the old Miami days, you think The Rock's going to be back for WrestleMania, or how are we feeling about that?
I'm not sure what Dewey's doing. If he's getting paid $65 million for a movie, he's probably going to stay away from wrestling.
That's a good point. That's a sweet gig. Yeah. Well, thank you.
I think he's figuring that out. But no, he's Dewey's a character.
Thank you very much for the time. We look forward to hearing you on the call tomorrow. Appreciate it very much, good sir.
Good luck to your Aggies.
Yeah, I can tell you really believe in them. Thank you very much. There you go.
That's great.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gino Toretta right here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, that game will be broadcast on 105.3 The Fan starting at 11 o'clock if you want to jump in on some Penn State and Ohio State. Listen for any strays from Toretta.
One word. One little word that he throws in, far better. Yeah, he just said better.
Far better.
This changes the entire approach.
Because they almost beat far better teams. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine. And now, whether I like it or not, it's time for Mike Likes It.
Well,
what? Can you believe this?
Even Noah's clapping
your
for
child
it.
Is clapping. No, he's excited.
He wants to take a load off. He's sitting down on the floor and relaxing, and he just wants to laugh, Kevin.
If there's ever a take a load off chant,
I will tell you what. Leave. Today is November 1st, and we haven't done this yet.
True.
And the show's almost over.
Paid our bills.
So just so maybe this doesn't make you laugh, but I want to give you some joy, and I want to take you back a year ago. In the sixth inning of the World Series, Game 5, the game is tied. The Rangers can't get a hit, but Corey Seager's on base and Mitch Garver's up to bat.
The 0-1, Garver swings, hits it up the middle. Base knocked into center. Seager scores. Carter being held at third as Thomas fires it back into the infield. RBI single for Mitch Garver.
And that's when I was screaming in my bedroom, or not in my bedroom, in the living room.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight is our night! Tonight is our night. And so I just can remember that was breaking the seal right there. It felt like it was that Zach Gallen was just owning that game, and the Rangers couldn't get anything done, but Seager and Carter got on base, and then Mitch Garver got the big hit to give the Rangers the lead a year ago today.
One thing I really loved about that, and you can hear it in the clip again, that became a Rangers crowd. Maybe it already was a Rangers crowd, but as you got into the ninth, it felt like almost like you were in Arlington.
That was a team that like had some significant timely home runs that they relied on throughout the entire run through the playoffs. The Marcus Semien home run was kind of a icing on the cake for a guy who hadn't had a great series. They did it like small ball style, just getting good base hits. That's wild the way that thing turned out.
So that was the run. But let's just go to the historic call. I don't think it'll ever get old for us on November 1st.
Never.
This is the Hall of Famer, Eric Nadell.
Two balls, two strikes. Spores kicks and fires.
He struck him out looking. It's over. It's over. The Rangers have won the World Series. Ranger fans, you're not dreaming. The Rangers are the World Series champions. After 52 years in Texas, 63 years of the franchise, the wait is over. And the celebration has begun.
That last part, I mean, I love so many parts about that call. The last part when he's like, the wait is over and the celebration has begun. I almost want to like flip the table over and just start to party.
All right.
Do it.
So
don't
joy is in our hearts right now during Mike Likes It. Now, we're taking a load off.
There we go.
And we're asking some fun questions. Kevin, if you wanted to laugh and you just wanted to enjoy life, that was a moment a year ago in your sports fandom life. This isn't even from the 100 questions.
Oh, he's
I'm making question
ones.
101 up right now. Bassic, 101.
Oh, my God.
What's your favorite sports moment of your life?
So, I think it might be what you just played because, not just because they won, but just think about the next 48 hours. Like, we all went up to the station and we just partied all night. And then in 2 days after that, we got to broadcast live from the parade. Mike Bassic, ladies and gentlemen, got to be on a damn parade in the championship. And
what did he even do?
You know? I mean,
I called two games in Washington.
But
one game against the Yankees where Garrett Cole shoved. And then was on pre- and post-game shows.
So I think it might be that, because when I think about the Mavericks championship, it was amazing. Going to the parade was amazing. But, like, we were part of it from the broadcast, from Broadus getting drunk, from Mike and Jared being on the floats. It was amazing.
Yeah, Corey. Man, that was a lot of fun.
Is it because it's most recent, or is it still that moment for you?
No, here it is that for me. And the Dirk moment, him winning that championship, him singing, from the balcony. I put Avery on my shoulders. Dirk runs by and high fives Avery on his
Johnson?
Way through. No, my son Avery, which is interesting.
Gosh,
his middle name is the letter J.
Avery was probably jealous and mad that it happened.
Yeah, no, that's a really special moment. But I remember specifically, I was at work at Channel 33 alone in an editing bay.
Yeah,
like as great as that moment was, as much as I wanted it for Dirk, this Rangers moment was amazing because there's Adrian. She's sitting there going, are you about to cry? And I was like, maybe just a little bit. And it was okay. And my kids were excited about it. And then, as you point out, man, I'm racing to the station. I couldn't wait to get on air.
You've named, obviously, two of mine. To be honest, the Dirk and the Mavs winning in 11 is probably mine. But I'm going to take you to a strong second. And maybe even first, and I don't have the audio because I didn't tell Alec to pull it.
When the Sidekicks won in the 80s?
I don't remember. Tattoo threw off his jersey and the ladies went crazy, right?
True.
But I'll tell you what it was for being with my family and being a huge Cowboys fan was not the Super Bowl and beating the Buffalo Bills. It was beating the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco, and people that aren't old enough to remember, most people listening, The Cowboys were not close to being favored. That was a mismatch.
They were 7 to 7.5
yeah.
in underdogs.
The Cowboys like, yeah, okay, this young team is having a good year, and you can see them building, but they're not going to beat Steve Young and Jerry Rice in San Francisco. You're insane if you think that.
Yeah.
And so that moment in my lifetime, I can remember being at my grandma and grandpa's house with my uncles and father. And that game where all of our family was like, this is so awesome. We're back in the NFC Championship game. Unfortunately, we're playing a team way better. But let's just see what happens. You never know. But in as that game progressed, you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Are they going to really do this? Are they going to really hold on to the lead? And the pressure that all the Cowboys were giving Steve Young on him, that he wasn't having the time to make decisions and good decisions, was so amazing. I think if you're old enough in our life to remember how bad the Cowboys were, they were bad my whole life. If I being born in 77, I get they won. I was just born. So my whole life, the Cowboys were horrible. And then for 1992 to beat the 49ers and go to the Super Bowl was just one of the greatest sports moments in my life. Now we get to question number. Ooh.
Why is there an ooh before you even say what
everybody's
question
on the, everybody's ready,
everybody's
on the man. Edge they're of their cheering. Seats, they're Kevin. Ready to go. Obviously, don't name something here. Everything here is awesome at Buffalo Wild Wings and Grapevine. What's the worst thing, Kevin? The worst thing, and you probably have a lot. What's the worst thing you've ever eaten?
Oh, that is a really good
and
question.
Jess is here too, and so is your mother-in-law. They probably cook great. Mm-hmm. So don't name anything that they have tried to cook for you, okay?
Cat food.
What?
Does that count? Does that
it
does
counts.
Cat food
you
count?
Put it in your mouth, it counts.
Yeah.
Mark that.
we were on a run when we were at Knights where we were doing things before the wheel started. We were sacrificing
ourselves this.
for the teams, and we were sacrificing ourselves for the Stars, and we ate cat food one night, and it was disgusting. If I'm gonna go with like any other random thing, I'll go with water chestnuts. I hate water chestnuts.
Not a real
so much.
Thing.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm with Alec. They shouldn't be.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, cat food's the worst. I'm sorry, cats.
Yeah, I raise you dog
is.
Food.
It's all right for cats, though.
Yeah. I mean, if that they don't know any better, you know? Yeah. I do. I've tasted good food.
Okay.
Take
can
that,
I,
cats.
Yeah.
Can I say not eat but drink?
Sure.
So one of my friends was getting married. This was many, many years ago. And as part of the bachelor party, they all wanted to do the gallon of milk challenge. And that was before I knew the terrible things that would happen to you if you attempted this. And I was like, yeah, I like chocolate milk. I can drink regular milk. That was the worst decision ever. I didn't even finish it. I felt so terrible, and I remember when I woke up in the middle of the night to use the restroom. It was the longest, like, 12-foot walk I'd ever made in my life. Every step, I was like, oh, my God.
Were they clinched together the whole way?
Yeah, and so drinking all that milk was a bad idea.
Corey, you have time for one more?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we got plenty of time.
All right, before you met Jess, you were on a dating app. You met Jess through a dating app.
That is true.
What's the worst thing you've ever seen on a dating app?
Don't say anything from her profile, man.
No, it was like,
this is question 22 for Emmett Smith,
and this might be rude,
or Rolando Blackman.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah,
this might be rude,
Steve Buscemi.
But I saw one lady, she had a picture in her profile with her, what she said was her 5 kids.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
that's a lot.
All right, I appreciate you being honest. Are people swiping on that? And they're like, yeah.
Was her husband in the picture too?
No, she was single. That was the point. And then you're like, how many guys is that from? And like, I guess you know she puts out.
She
I don't know.
To
but
find
like,
Mr. Brady.
I'm so that's too far. Take a load off. Yeah.
We're relaxing here.
Yeah, we're relaxing. You laughing?
So yeah, probably that mic. The reason why I think I hate this segment so much is because last Friday when somebody came up and asked me a question that I did not realize was from the list, and I tried to give them honest.
He's right there.
Yeah, and they were they were like, "Wow, that's a deep answer, man. I hope you got a chance to take a load off." Well, and I was like, "Son of a gun!"
Hopefully, I've satisfied everybody here.
Always
that
do,
is
Mike. You always do.
Mike likes it.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. As you can tell, in front of a rowdy group of folks out here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
We got some Cowboys information we got to get to quickly. Plus, you know what? That's it. That's it for right now. I'll get some more on the other side.
It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app